The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now on the same day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." "Yes. And besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right, so there's a little jumping around with the readings. The first reading is actually set on Pentecost. So we're in Easter season, but this is Pentecost morning. And so, as you remember, the Holy Spirit came, the apostles were doing all this language thing going on, and it made people wonder what was going on. So Peter is talking to a group of very curious Jews from all over, because it's a festival, the Feast of Weeks. And so they're all in town for this major festival. It's a harvest festival, and suddenly this is going on. And Peter's been talking to him. He was talking to him last week in their second reading. Now we're finishing up. And basically what Peter says is, you remember when the prophet Joel said God was going to pour out his spirit at the end days, at the end of time? Remember that? Well, this is it. Which is kind of mind-blowing. I mean, he said, "Your experience is something we've been talking about for hundreds of years." And then he goes on to explain to them that this Jesus, and he says, "Who you crucified. This Jesus who you crucified, God has made him the Messiah, the King, the anointed King. And he's the Lord." And then he goes on to say that they need to turn back to God, that they've been going in the wrong direction. Judaism is primarily walking. You're going in the right or the wrong direction. He says you need to turn around. That's what repentance means. Need to turn around, head back to God, and flee this godless world. This world ruled by Rome in its ways. This world ruled by all the pagan gods, all the principalities and powers that are set against God. You need to leave that and turn back to God. Now, God's going to redeem the world, but it's not been redeemed yet, not fully. And then he says, if you get baptized into Jesus, you become part of Jesus, if you're one with Jesus, you're going to have new life. And you heard the story, a bunch of people signed up. Now, 35 years later or so, the same man wrote a letter. And he basically is saying the same thing. He says, you are not citizens of this world. You're the children of God. And our citizenship in this world takes precedence a good bit of the time over our identity as children of God. He says, the way of the world is rebellion against God. It's rebellion. It's rejecting the ways of God and setting up something in its place. And he said, it's a futile manner of life. It's a futile manner of life. And we say that, but we don't believe it. Because you can't live out where we live if you're not spending a great deal of time and energy trying to make as much money as possible. You just can't do it. You can't have all the sorts of things that we have unless if you've made a very definite commitment to education and getting a job and meeting the right people and hanging with the right friends and making the right connections. It just is what's required. It's what's required. And the dilemma is there's a futility in it. And most of us have enough Jesus in our life that we haven't gone full bore. But right, don't you like every time you hear about some billionaire's kid killing himself or being on drugs, don't you say, yeah, it's kind of like there's not enough money to make your life right. There just isn't. There's not enough success. Like the Academy Award doesn't change your life. It's probably something that part of that night. But they all do drugs then, apparently, afterwards. It's like, however good it is ain't good enough to keep you from the futile way of life. And it just goes on and on and on and on. The futility of this world that Peter says you need to flee from, you need to repent, turn back to God, and through obedience to God to purify your soul. And our dilemma is we are much more inclined to do what we think is right. Right? Don't you try to do what's right? Everybody here tried to do what's right, right? And look at the mess of your life. So apparently you're not really good at it. And not only have you messed up your life, you've messed up other people's lives on a daily basis. Like they're cussing you when you're driving. You know that, don't you? You've been cussed by people you've never seen before because of something you've done. Watch where you're going, buddy. Right? So our whole lives are spent trying to do the right thing, which is better than trying to do the wrong thing. I'll give you that. But the reality is there's a futility to it. There's an I can't pull it offness to it. And obedience to God is what's going to put me on his side. And the dilemma is a lot of times when God talks to us, we say, well, let's negotiate, right? How can I make this fit what I want? So God's coming to judge. And when we think of judge, most of us, I mean, we like the goat's teeth. We like a judge because they're sitting behind the bench. They got their robes on and stuff. And we go to the judge and we say, here's my case. And we like the judge to make a decision. But that's not what judgment was in the ancient world. Probably the most famous judge are Gideon and Samson, right? How many stories are there where Samson's wearing a black robe behind a bench and people are saying, they broke into my house and stole stuff? Zero. How many stories are there where Samson's like killing people? A lot. What does Gideon do? He leads an army. Even the women judges led armies. I mean, the judges were about bringing justice. They weren't about settling court cases. So when God says he's going to judge the world, what that means is God is someday. Have you ever said, why are things the way they are? Why doesn't God do something? Yeah, just wait till he does. You may change your tune. I wish God would do something about this unfair world. Because it may turn out that you're in the wrong pile. You may be wearing the wrong jersey. Because maybe some of the unfairness that you're complaining about, you're a participant in. That's what Peter's saying. When he comes to judge, he's going to say to his team, come here. And he's going to say to the other team, stop. And what Peter's saying is by obedience to him, you're on the right team. And then Luke goes to the whole idea of this this path religion. So Judaism is a path religion. There's two paths, the good and the bad path. All right. And Jesus said, no, you know, there's the path, and then you wander off the path, and then the shepherd has to go back and get you. So this path idea is, it's a movement. Because you're not there. See, a lot of our thinking is real ontological, and I use a fancy word to, so you know I really know what I'm talking about up here. But what it means basically is we say, I'm a good guy or a bad guy, right? I'm with the good guys. I'm with the bad guys. But the reality we know is there are no good guys. There's some guys that are just a little better than others. And there's no only bad guys, because even bad guys do good things. But paths, like I know if I'm heading in the right direction. And sometimes there's detours, and then you have to get back and head the right direction. And I also know going in the opposite direction. Like if you're on 55 South going to Chicago, you're in trouble. Now, there are ways to get to Chicago that are not 55 North. And you can go through, and I've done trips where you kind of go through Indiana and all that stuff. You can still be generally heading in that direction. But like if you're going to the Gulf, it's not going to work out. It's just not going to work out at all. And so some of us, we got really good cars going super fast. So we're going the wrong direction super fast. That's what the judgment is. Now, this journey idea is what Luke lays out for us, and he's set us up. So you got Clopas and then the other guy. And the other guy could be a son who ended up being a bishop and was killed for the faith. So the other one could be his son, could be his wife. A lot of people think it's his wife. And it could be Luke doesn't tell us because Luke wants to say, it's you. Right? They're walking. And Jesus says to them, literally in the Greek, what are these words you're throwing back and forth? Is that not a cool turn of phrase? What are these words you're throwing back and forth? And what we know is they're like really sad. It says they're really sad. And then we know they're really disappointed because they kind of had a plan. Like you, we all have plans. Some write them down. Most of us don't. But we all have a plan, and we all know how disappointing God can be, right? Well, we really thought you were going to save us here. What's up with this? So that's what they're experiencing. So they're going to Emmaus. And the problem with that is they're supposed to be in Jerusalem because that's where it happens. That's where Jesus is crucified. That in Luke's gospel, this is theological. The word Jerusalem means the place where it all has to happen. And they're not in a place where it all has to happen. So that describes my life and your life. We're in the wrong place. Heading in the wrong direction. That's the summary of our lives. That's how we spend our time. Like, how many minutes a day do you think you pray? And how many minutes a day do you do everything else? And we all do. If you pray a lot, and I'm talking about a lot, you may pray an hour or two a day. Out of 24 hours, it's not very much. It's like 4, 5, 6% of the day. Like if you went to work, they said, we're only going to pay you 6% of your paycheck this week. Unless if you make a whole lot more money than I think anybody in here makes, that's not enough. But if we say to God, I'm only going to give you like 4% of my day, we think that's pretty awesome. I'm way ahead of everybody else, right? So they're on the wrong path. We're on the wrong path. And what Jesus says to them is, you're fools. We use the word idiot. That's what fools are. They're people just doing the wrong thing. So we're idiots. So he basically confirms what I just said earlier. Your life's a mess because you put yourself in charge of your life. My life's a mess because I'm in charge. And we're idiots. We're dopes. All right? And that goes from us all the way to the top. And what country has this great leader that everything's perfect? I forget. What's the name of that country again? Where everything was perfect? Where was that? Oh, yeah, that's right. The kingdom of God. And it's not here yet. So what Jesus says to them is they're fools. They don't, they're just slow-hearted. And then he explains the Bible to them, kind of like we do every Sunday. And then he breaks bread, and then they recognize him, kind of like we do every Sunday. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to head back to Jerusalem. We're going to have an altar call. And if you're smart, you already know the answer to that altar call is we did that last week, we did it next week, and we do it every week, because that's what we do. And before we do the altar call, we're going to stand up and verbally tell God that he's the center of our lives. See, Peter is a great guy to listen to because Peter wasn't perfect. Like, he messed up major. So it's not about being perfect. It's not about saying, well, I think I'm a pretty good person, and God will, God doesn't care if you're a pretty good person. No, he cares about that. He primarily cares is, do you love them? Do you love other people, and do you love God? Not have you got some criteria that makes you determine what a good person is. Because most of your criteria are probably not the most important ones. My criteria, they're not the most important ones. It's not about being good. It's not even always about being strong. It's about when you're weak, loving. It's about always going back to him. That's what Peter is. Peter's our role model. So let's stand up.